Now, as we know, at least three bodies, yes, recovered from the Java Sea off Indonesia. The search for more bodies continues, and for the totality of the wreckage of the AirAsia Airbus flight QZ8501 that disappeared on Sunday. 162 people on board while flying from Indonesia to Singapore. We might now begin to put some facts around this disappearance. Joining me now is Mary Schiavo, former Inspector General of the United States Department of Transportation, aviation lawyer and pilot. Mary, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
From what you've seen of the wreckage and its location, what does that begin to tell you about this crash?
Well, the wreckage that's been found so far does hold some important clues. First, it was very close, about 6 miles from the last known radar point, which suggests that the plane did fall to the earth pretty closely and in time and in location after the last radar hit. So that suggests to me some kind of an aerodynamic stall or a loss of control. In other words, the plane didn't continue to fly on. Whatever happened, the plane came to the earth at that point. The door that the emergency escape door, the raft that wasn't inflated, the rollerboard suitcase all suggest to me that the cabin of the plane came apart when it hit the water. The bodies, as I understand it, were still at least partially closed, if not fully closed, which suggests that they were in the cabin in the plane on the fall to the earth, and the life raft was not inflated, so it does not suggest that someone was able to get the life raft out and deploy it, set off the canister that inflates it. That life raft is stored in the cabin of the plane, so it does suggest that the cabin has been broken up on the floor of the ocean.
So, okay, so the aircraft would have hit the water intact, is your sense?
I believe so.
And now we understand that the depth of the water in that area is not deep, that we can assume that in reasonably short order that wreckage can be recovered, or at any rate the flight recorders can be taken from that. What are they likely to tell us?
Oh, my goodness. They will hold the whole story, I'm convinced, without a doubt. It's only a six-year-old plane, so the flight data recorders are quite modern. They record hundreds of parameters, everything, engine settings, control settings, anything that you can put a electrical lead to on the plane and record what it's doing. This black box pretty much has it. And, of course, the cockpit voice recording will tell us, without a doubt, why there was no mayday call. And I suspect it's because the pilots weren't aware they were in such dire trouble until they really had to fight to save the plane. So I suspect that the voice recording will show that they were battling to save their flight and their passengers all the way down.
What will be the process from here of investigation? Where will those recorders go, and who will look at that evidence?
Well, where the recorders will go will actually be determined by the Indonesian authorities. I mean, there are several countries that have the capability of doing it. Australia, as we learned from Malaysia 370, France, it's a French-made plane, so France BEA may do it. Of course, England has the capabilities, and the United States has the capabilities. We know Malaysia doesn't, and I don't think that Indonesia does. They could send it to Singapore, but I think not. I think that probably it will be France, Australia, maybe Great Britain or the United States.
And typically, what's the sort of period of analysis that will take place? How long before we have these answers?
Oh, my. It'll only be a couple of days before they have the data and can release the data if they are inclined to do so. And I think that they should. What people certainly learned after Malaysia 370 is that the families eventually will get and are entitled to the data, and withholding it makes no sense whatsoever. For example, in the United States, the families must be told the data. They must be briefed by the National Transportation Safety Board. And so once they download it, the cockpit voice recording is really just that. It's a recording, and it becomes rather apparent what is being said both on both microphones, the first officer and the pilot in command. On the flight data recorder, that takes a bit more doing because it's just bits of data, and it looks like kind of looks like an EKG, if you would. If you can imagine about 300 EKGs on the plane. That's what it looks like. And then, of course, you put the interpretive software to it, and you can tell what the plane was doing.
So that will tell you everything about the plane's, well, characteristics, attitude, everything about its technical performance at that moment.
Yeah, probably the most important things of all, the airspeed, the engine setting, and the pitch. How was the nose pitched up, pitched down, and what were the controls doing? And I imagine with just those few pieces of data, they can piece it together.
Mary Schiavo, once that evidence is known, once we have some conclusions, and the evidence would appear to be pointing at this point towards weather having some impact on this flight and this crash, how receptive and through what channels would we then put that information, perhaps to look at changes in procedure or, you know, some factors that might be altered to avoid this sort of incident in future?
That's a terrifically good question, because the way it works is each nation must adopt their own aviation regulations. But, of course, what we are supposed to do is every nation is supposed to model them after the recommendations of the International Civil Aviation Organization. But really what it will take is just a few nations to set the pace, to put the lead. And so, for example, if someone decides to have stricter requirements on flying into lines of thunderstorms, then, other nations will have to meet it if they intend to fly into those countries' airspace, because nations are entitled to have reciprocity. In other words, if we have these standards, you should meet them to fly into our country. But ordinarily, it's nation by nation. And here, of course, there is a possibility of perhaps there was something mechanical. And if there was something mechanical wrong in the plane, for example, an attitude indicator, whether the nose was up or down, iced over, Airbus would make a recommendation for the changes. In the United States, those recommendations are airworthiness directives. They have the force of law. It's different in every country, but Airbus would lead the way on that.
And it's interesting you should talk about those the international reaction to particular countries and airlines, because Indonesia, of course, as we know, historically has had considerable trouble with having its airlines granted access to international airspace.
Well, that's right, because of prior crashes and questions about safety, and not just about the regulations. This is one thing that people don't often focus on. The reasons with the United States that Indonesia and other countries got in trouble is because they did not have an inspection force. In other words, they had laws on the books, but their inspection regime was not tough enough. They didn't have a cadre of inspectors to make sure that people followed the law. And that is perhaps even more important than having the laws on the books, because if they're not enforced, they don't mean a thing.
None of which is to say that AirAsia is an operation which crosses any of those boundaries. It appears to be a well-managed, well-organized airline flying up-to-date aircraft that are well-maintained.
Yes, but you can't say the same thing. You cannot say the same thing about Malaysia. Malaysia as a country and Malaysia as an air nation and Malaysia's government in their performance after 370, I thought was abysmal. I thought that they were not forthcoming on the information about the flight, about the radar, et cetera. So I really question Malaysia's ability to properly oversee its carrier. So no matter how good the carrier is, government oversight matters, and it matters a lot. And I don't think Malaysia is up to snuff.
So a point of reassurance then that the examination of the evidence here might be a more international effort than simply the Malaysian hosts of AirAsia.
Oh, I think that's true, and I think that Singapore, really has a tremendous interest, because the flight was headed there, as does any nation where carriers from Malaysia land. Everyone has an interest in aviation safety, because aviation knows no national boundaries. By definition and by intention, aviation is pretty much, flies beyond the boundaries of any country.
Mary, fascinating insight. It would seem we don't have long to wait now for some firm answers.
I think not. Thank you.
Mary Schiavo, former Inspector General of the United States Department of Transportation. She's an aviation lawyer and pilot.